Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 53 and verse 1. So Isaiah 53 and verse 1 in this series through this section of God's Word, which we read earlier. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Amen. And so the title of this morning's sermon is, Have You Believed God's Report? A question for each one to be asking at all times, also as we come to the Lord's table this morning. And so, as we've in previous weeks and months, as we've begun in this section at verse 13, we've considered how that the Lord introduced to Israel through Isaiah and introduces to us his servant who would at the end of it all be exalted and lifted up, and yet on the way to that exaltation and being made very high, that there would be great suffering. Great suffering. And that suffering, by means of that suffering, because of that suffering, he would bring blessing and purity, cleansing to many nations, socially sprinkle many nations. And we did hear of and see how the nations, as the gospel would go out into the nations, and the kings of the nations would marvel and shut their mouths in that wonder as they heard those wonderful things that are found in Jesus Christ. They hear the good news of Christ, and those things that they hadn't realised, that they hadn't known, would be told them. And so we see the gospel going forth there. But then Isaiah continues from looking forward and seeing the success of the gospel, Christ accomplishing that which for which he suffered. Isaiah then laments, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So I want to consider this verse in two parts. We have these two questions before us in the verse. So firstly, the first part and the first point I've entitled Scarce Faith, and then secondly Sovereign Grace. So Scarce Faith. Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? So the question is a lament that even though the Lord presented his servant, set his servant before Israel and sets him before the world, and even though he would do these things through suffering, yet not many believed what they heard about God's servant. That's the meaning here. It's there's an implied answer. Not many have believed. Now I want to think about this scarcity of faith in regard to this report under three parts here. So firstly, to ask, what is this report? Then, whose is the report? Isaiah says, our report. Whose report is it? And then, who has believed the report? So, what is the report? The report that Isaiah is speaking of is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the good news that there is a Saviour for sinners. Literally, the word report means that which is heard. And we're taken back, if we realise that, to just the very previous verse, and there we've been told how that Christ would, after his sufferings, and because of his sufferings, to sprinkle many nations, And in doing so, as priest, as king, as prophet, sending forth his word, that the nations, the kings of the nations, they would marvel and they would shut their mouths in astonishment. And because those things that hadn't been told them they'd see, those things which they had not heard, the report that they received, that they hadn't previously received but now were receiving, they would consider. And if you remember last week in this, that we considered that this verse 15, it is indeed, it's speaking of the gospel of Christ going out into the nations. And Paul in Romans 15, he quotes this, that very verse, chapter 52, verse 15, as being fulfilled in the gospel going out to the Gentiles. And this is the report that Isaiah is referring to. Who hath believed our report? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But also that we're given this report, the content of this report, in this whole section, in this whole chapter. It is a report of the Saviour, a Saviour for sinners, the one who would come. And it's even spoken of as if it's been fulfilled already, because it's sure to be fulfilled. Even though Isaiah is some 700 years before Christ would come, it's written in the past tense. This is what he's done, because it's been ordained to be done. And this report, at the heart of the report of this good news, is the suffering of the servant of the Lord. Not for his own sins, because he had none, but for the sins of his people. And there's something, even in what follows, in the verses that follow, of we see the offence of the gospel. Because Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected of men, and so on. So there's that offence. Many not believing the report. They can't get past the suffering. Can't get past, in that sense, in themselves, a suffering Saviour. So that's the report that Isaiah is speaking of, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But whose is the report? Who hath believed our report? And some say, oh, it's Isaiah and the other prophets with him. Those who, whether at his time, he had contemporaries, Micah, one of his contemporaries that we have in terms of the writing prophets, others before and after, proclaiming the coming Saviour. Our report, that it's the prophets. But we have to go behind Isaiah. Who spoke through Isaiah? Who gave him his report? It is Jehovah, the Lord himself. The gospel is not man's idea. It's not man's word. It's God's idea. It's God's report. And the Bible emphasizes how that the gospel, think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, just the gospel, and at the heart of the gospel, the suffering Saviour, the cross of Christ. It's foolishness to the world, stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Greeks, but it's the wisdom and power of God. It's the report of God. And as we see this particularly in Romans chapter 10, I want to read a section there, if you might wish to turn to it. And I think it's important when we find a verse, as this verse is quoted in the New Testament, that we understand from the New Testament what that verse means. Because Christ and the apostles are teaching us how to read our Bibles. And here in Romans chapter 10, I want to read from verse 9 to 17. And we find out what this report is and the necessity of receiving it. Romans 10, verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the report, we see then this verse quoted in verse 16, they have not all obeyed the gospel, and this what Isaiah says shows that when he said, Lord, who hath believed our report, he's saying they're not believing. Not all who hear are believing. And what aren't they believing? They're not believing the word of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace, the glad tidings of good things. And so, therefore, that the word of God goes forth in the preaching of his word and is to be believed, not just heard. So the gospel belongs to and goes forth from the triune God. He from all eternity conceived it and decreed it. It's his idea, and he sends it forth, sets it before us, even in the garden, in the promise of Christ at the very beginning, and fleshed out in the scriptures, in the covenant of grace. He shows us his mercy in the Saviour, if only you would believe upon him. As Paul wrote to Timothy, the 1 Timothy 1:11, he speaks of the glorious gospel of the blessed God. The gospel is for sinners, but it belongs to and it comes from God. And so as we think on this report, our report, who hath believed our report, we can hear not only the voice of Isaiah and the prophets with him and even the ministers following, but of the triune God setting his report. Here is the report of the Saviour for sinners in Jesus Christ, who hath believed our report. Whenever the Bible is read, it is God's report. Every word inspired by God. The Bible is set apart from every other thought of man, every writing of man, every speech of man, because it's inspired by God. The Bible is God's report, and at the centre of the message of the scriptures and throughout is Christ. All these things speak of me, Christ said. But also, not only in the reading of the word, but in the preaching of the word, when God's word is faithfully preached, it's God's report. Not that the preaching is inspired by God, but it's used by God. And as we read there in Romans chapter 10, that how will they believe unless they hear, and how will they hear unless the word is preached? How will they preach unless they are sent? And that sending is first and foremost of God, to be sent by God. And that we realise, and also there from Romans chapter 10, that when God's word is preached, the report that is being given, and as much as it's faithful, is from God. When Christ is truly and faithfully preached, Christ is preaching. In verse 14 of Romans 10, if you're still there, we read, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That could also be translated in terms of the forms of the verb believe. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? So it's not only that in preaching you're hearing of Christ, but you are hearing Christ. This is what Christ said to his apostles, indeed, as those inspired of him, but also his ministers, and as much as they're faithful, Luke 10:16, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 to 25. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, the word, the inspired word of God, infallible, inerrant, here in the Bible, and this is word for word, not a jot or a tittle, that a jot or a tittle that is an error or will fall away, but also when that is faithfully brought and expounded and applied, that there is God's report being given. That's the Shorter Catechism, question 89. Says in terms of how that the Lord uses his word and makes it effectual unto salvation. The Spirit of God maketh the reading, but especially the preaching of the word, an effectual means of convincing and converting sinners and of building them up in holiness and comfort through faith unto salvation. So it's God's report. Who hath believed our report, this report of the Lord Jesus Christ? And before just finishing here in terms of this question, just that we see here something also of in these verses of the offence of the gospel. The gospel of God is the true gospel is an offence to man. We see that here, many earlier in chapter 52, verse 14, many astonished, astonished at Christ, at his sufferings, and this offence taken, no form or comeliness, no beauty, despised and rejected of men. We hid our faces, hid as it were our faces from him. The gospel, with this offence, is the gospel of God. It's an offence because it shows us our sin. It exposes us for who we are. It shows us that we cannot do anything to bring ourselves to God. And it's the offence in that it shows us that the way of salvation is through the sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ. And because it is offensive, and it will offend, and men will turn away from it. That's why so many other gospels, so-called, and have been invented. And other Jesuses, as it were, have been invented. Whether it be, for example, whether it be that Jesus he's the eloquent philosopher to wow us with his great insights and so on. Whether it be that Jesus is the good example to show us how to make our own way to God. Whether it be the freedom fighter Jesus to set us free from oppression, oppressing powers, or the social justice warrior Jesus to fight against whatever evils we think need to be fought against in society. Any of these and others have gone after to get away from the heart of the gospel, which is Christ and his suffering and death for the forgiveness of our sins. But ultimately, these, which are the fabrications of men, which are the ideas of men, are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not that report that God sets before us and has given to be proclaimed. Even though they come in the name of gospel and in the name of Jesus, they are, as Paul said to the Corinthians, they are another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel, which is not a gospel. It's a false gospel. It's not good news. It's bad news. It leaves us in our sins. So who has to lead the report? The answer is few. Many are on that broad way that leads to destruction. Few there be that are on the way to life. It's what Paul said in Romans. This verse, the proof, as it were, that they have not all obeyed the gospel. And especially that there's fulfillment of this verse. Again, looking into the New Testament use of it. John, in John 12:37, we read, and though he, Jesus, has done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And then he quotes this as fulfilled in what Isaiah says. I want to read some more of those verses a little later. So that we realise too that when there is this lament, who hath believed our report? It's not so much a lament about the situation of the world in which we live in today, or that Isaiah lived in. He wasn't looking with this lament to the Gentile nations, the other nations surrounding Israel. There will be in the people of God a heart for the nations, and there has been, the gospel has been given, it's been commanded to be taken into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. But this lament, who have believed our report, is about the church. It's about the church then, as formed as a nation of Israel, the church now. It's about those who have heard and not believed. See, the report has been heard but not believed. That's who Isaiah is talking about. The problem's not a lack of hearing. The Jews heard. Moses was read in their synagogues every Sabbath day. They heard the report. They made their way through the scriptures in their synagogues, Sabbath by Sabbath, in their families, in their homes, reading, memorizing, studying that word, which was full of Christ. The problem was not the lack of hearing, but the lack of faith. It's not enough to hear the preaching of the word. It's not enough to be reading chapters and chapters of the scriptures every day. You must be believing what you read, what you hear. There must be faith with the hearing. Hebrews 4 verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And so, before coming to the second part of the verse, that question, Isaiah saying, who hath believed our report? And there were not many then, even though they had heard. Have you believed God's report? Have you received that one that God reports of, the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you resting upon him for salvation? Or would these words of Isaiah be cried over your head? Has this one received our report? So there is scarce faith. But then, secondly, sovereign grace. And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So in the way that we find so often in the scriptures, the way of Hebrew poetry, as it were, there's repetition. I often find it in the Proverbs and in the Psalms, as in the prophets, where the same thing, the second part of the verse, the second statement, says something of the same thing, but also explains and adds to, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Those who have believed have had the arm of the Lord revealed to them. Those who have not believed have not had the arm of the Lord revealed to them. That's the meaning here. The connection between these questions is twofold, I believe. Firstly, that the second part of the verse speaks of the revelation of the arm of the Lord, tells us something of what's in the report. What is God, what message has God sent out into the world? It is that his arm has wrought salvation. It is that he has done mightily through his servant to accomplish the salvation of his people. Now, children, does God have a body? Does God have arms and feet and hands and legs? No. The Bible is very clear. God is a spirit. God does not have a body. But the Bible speaks this way, and God reveals himself to us in this way in the Bible. It's called, it's a big word, it's called an anthropomorphism, that he reveals himself in, as it were, the shape of a man. And so it's so that we can understand something of what God is like, because we have bodies and we're used to bodies. We to remember God is a spirit. He does not have a body. He is everywhere. But when we When the Bible tells us that God's eyes, it's so that we know that God sees. When it tells us about his ears, it's so that we know that he hears. And when it tells us about his arm, what do you think that tells us about? It tells us of his strength. It tells us of his action, of his working. And particularly, or always, to bring about his purpose. Also in terms of judgment, but often to save. I want to read some verses also from Isaiah, Isaiah 51 verse 5. My righteousness is near, my salvation has gone forth, and mine arm shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and on mine arm shall they trust. Isaiah 52 verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah 63 verse 12, how that God led his people by the right hand of Moses with his glorious arm. So God's arm speaks of his power, of his might, of his action. Yes, sometimes to judge, but also to save his people. And when we read here of the arm of the Lord being revealed, this is speaking of God's action for the salvation of his people. And this is what's been described by Isaiah in the suffering and the death of the servant of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so that we can sing in Psalm 98 verse 1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. So when we think of this report, it is a report of salvation for sinners. It's a report of forgiveness of sins. It's a report of cleansing from unrighteousness, of an inheritance and glory But those things accomplished by God through Jesus Christ, that He has done mightily. He's made bare His holy arm in the sight of the nations. These things, when Christ came into the world, they weren't done in a corner. They were done front and centre. And then that report of it going, being taken out into the world. That Christ has died, He has risen again, He's ascended, He's poured out His Holy Spirit, and now that message going out into the world. So the gospel is that report of salvation that God has wrought in Christ. He's saved, He's accomplished salvation for His people. There is salvation to everyone who believes on Jesus. God said to Israel through Hosea, chapter 13, verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And God says to sinners, you have destroyed yourselves. You're under the condemnation of the law. You continue under condemnation in that path you're travelling on and unto destruction. But in me is thine help. And so here is how you can be saved, God is saying. Here is the report. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. When you believe on Him, you're receiving that report. You're resting on that arm. You're trusting in the power of God, trusting in the wisdom of God, relying on the grace of God. And the Bible describes faith as a receiving of the report, a receiving of the record that God has given. In 1 John 5, verse 10 and 11, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So you see, when you don't believe what God says, you're saying, God, no, you're lying. I know better than you. And in this regard, John's saying, when you don't believe, you're calling God a liar because you're not believing the record God gave of His Son. John continues, so we ask, what is that record? What is that report? This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So there is Christ set before you as the only Saviour. God holds Him up, as it were, in the report of the gospel and says, you will only be saved from your sins if you trust in Him. And if you deny Him, if you do not believe on Him, you're calling God a liar. You're saying, no, God, I can have life in this way or in that way. I don't care about that life, eternal life found in your Son. So the gospel is a report of what God has done by His mighty arm. But also in the second connection, I believe, between these two questions, it is that we see here the work of God's arm by His Holy Spirit. Who hath believed our report? Only those, as if Isaiah is saying, only those to whom the arm of the Lord has revealed it. Only those in whom God has worked to enable them to receive, to believe that report. Why is it that many hear, but only a few truly believe? Why is it that there are churches, even where the gospel is truly preached, where there are yet unbelievers, and where there are, in the visible churches, we look about, there are many who by their lives show that they are yet in their sins? Because it's not enough just to hear. The word must be believed. And many of those who hear have not had the arm of the Lord at work, as it were, in them. They see in the report of the gospel, there is what God has done in Christ. But that remains out there, it remains in front of us. What we need is that God would follow up that work that he has done in Christ with a work in our hearts by his Holy Spirit. And this is where we see the necessity of God and his enabling grace and power within. I think we see this connection in how the Apostle John in his Gospel refers to this verse in John chapter 12 and from verse 37 to 41. I mentioned verse 37 before. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory, and spake of him. So, the unbelief of the Jews, in spite of the word they heard, in spite of the miracles they saw, fulfilled what Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Then John goes on to give the reason why they did not receive, because they continued blind, hardened, therefore unbelieving. He refers there to Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up in the temple, in his holiness, and the Lord gave Isaiah a commission to be his prophet at that time, further establish him as his prophet. And we see something here of God's sovereign hardening of sinners. And this hardening, we must understand, as those who had continued in their rejection of him, those who rejected his mercy, rejected his goodness. They turned themselves away from him. We see this earlier in Isaiah as we've been considering. God gave him over to their sin. But this describes, this blindness, this hardness, describes the reality. Each and every one of us, by nature. What Paul in Ephesians describes of us as being dead in trespasses and sins. The Bible describes us as by nature blind, deaf, spiritually blind, spiritually dead, in darkness, hating God, in enmity with God. Romans 8 verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. And so if, as the gospel goes out into the world and comes before sinners, we must realize ourselves to be as Ezekiel saw, as that valley of dry bones. He was preaching in a cemetery. And if we're going to a cemetery and if we're calling out as loud as we can, or as enthusiastically as we can, with as much force as we can muster, or eloquence, we would not expect any response, would we? There cannot be. And so it is spiritually, when the gospel is preached, when the word of God is preached, there will be no response from those in their sins by preaching in the cemetery. But if God works, then there can be given ears to hear. Hard hearts, hard as granite, can be made soft. And God gives unto those He has ordained, those whom He has predestinated, them He calls. He gives them ears to hear. He gives faith and repentance. Ephesians 2 verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As we think on this report, as we think on the necessity of receiving it, if there would be forgiveness, if there would be salvation, if there would be holiness, if there would be reconciliation with God, how we need God to work mightily, to make bare His arm as regards us individually, to take away, as He said through Ezekiel, to take away our stony heart out of our flesh, to give a heart of flesh. We need that the Holy Ghost would renew, would regenerate. John Calvin, in his comment on this verse, he says this: though it is sufficiently evident that all are called to salvation, yet the prophet expressly states that the external voice is of no avail if it be not accompanied by the special gift of the Spirit. And whence proceeds the difference? Where does the difference come from? But from the secret election of God, the cause of which is hidden in Himself. As Jesus said, many are called. The gospel goes out, and all who hear are called to God, invited to Him earnestly. He beseeches those who hear through His ministers. Yet few are chosen. And so we're cast onto the mercy of God, that He would, as He may bear His arm in the provision of a Saviour, in the incarnation, in the suffering and death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus, that He would make bare His arm in our own hearts by His Holy Spirit, that He would enable us to take hold of that Saviour, to believe unto eternal life. Have you believed God's report? Have you received that report? Have you received the Saviour He has set before the world? And God holds up Himself in Christ and says, look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. If you have, it is glory to God. It is all of God's grace. It is because God has made bare His arm, His holy arm, His majestic arm in you. He's worked in you by His Holy Spirit. And so glorify Him. And there is, as you have done so, as you have called upon the Lord, as you have made open profession of Him, He would set this table before you to come and to eat, to be strengthened, to be encouraged, to remember and believe what Christ has done for you. To come, not putting confidence in yourself, but in Him who loved you and gave Himself for you. But are you perhaps yet unbelieving? Are you one perhaps who has heard even many times the report from the ministers of God, from the mouths of your parents, from the mouths of believers, from the Word of God itself as you have read it? Have you heard God's report and yet you're unbelieving? You do not believe it. You do not believe perhaps it applies to you, you don't need it. You don't believe perhaps that it's true. How could it be? Why would it be necessary, this? Perhaps you find offence in it. Offence in the sufferings of Christ. Realise your peril. realize the perilous position you are in. You're in that same position that so many of the Jews in Isaiah's day were in. They heard sermons, scripture, again and again. But there was, in their hearts, there was no faith mixed with the hearing of the word. And so it profited them nothing. And in fact, it just contributed to the hardness of their hearts. And so beware, lest your hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't trust in the hearing of the word. Don't trust in going to church and listening to sermons. Trust in God and seek after Him. Seek after Christ. There is life in Him. That's God's report. There is life in my Son. Will you receive God's report? Perhaps you're doubting. Perhaps you're wondering. Perhaps you're wondering yourself. Do I believe? Perhaps there is a profession being made, but there are questions, there are fears, there are doubts. I want to say at this point, also as we think on the Lord's Supper, and we'll read in a moment from 1 Corinthians 11, the encouragement and the warnings there that there are those times when it's good to doubt. If you are living in unrepentant sin, even though you've made a profession, you've at some point been and presented your profession to the elders, to those God has set in the church to evaluate such things, yet that you're living in unrepentant secret sin and not walking, seeking the Lord, looking unto Christ and seeking, endeavouring after holiness of life and obedience to His law. If that's the case, yes, doubt your salvation. Doubt it, and there's a warning in God's word against coming unworthy, against coming with such scandal in your life. But it's also true that there are often times when the people of God, it might be as Isaiah describes in chapter 50, verse 10, that though they trust in the Lord, yet they're walking in darkness and seeing no light. That can be a situation for the believer. And what's the encouragement there by Isaiah? He stayed on the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And so if it is true that you live in an unrepentant sin, trusting in yourself, trusting and thinking that perhaps you can get away with your sin by following a form of religion, then beware. But if there be doubts and fears, if there be a knowledge of your weakness, of your frailty, of feeling your own sin before God and lamenting over it, then there's every encouragement to be seeking the Lord and to be coming, asking that God would strengthen your faith and help you. I want to finish with reading from the Larger Catechism, question 172, a summary of many of these things I've been saying in terms of the encouragement to those with questions, with doubts, who are yet trusting in the Lord. The question is this: may one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation come to the Lord's Supper? The answer: one who doubteth of his being in Christ or of his due preparation for the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, may have true interest in Christ, though he be not yet assured thereof. And in God's account, hath it, if he be duly affected with the apprehension of the want of it. That means he knows. You know that you lack, but you are grieved over it. You're affected by it. And that you unfeignedly desire to be found in Christ and to depart from iniquity. In which case, because promises are made and this sacrament is appointed for the relief even of weak and doubting Christians, he is to bewail his unbelief and labour to have his doubts resolved. And so doing, he may and ought to come to the Lord's Supper that he may be further strengthened. So Isaiah asks, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? What a question to be asking ourselves, each one. Have you believed God's report? Have you received Christ as God sets him before us in his word? Praise God if you have. Glorify him for his work enabling you to do so. Seek that work if you do not know it, if you're not sure. Seek that the arm of the Lord would be at work in you. That the Lord bless his word to each one of us. Amen. Well, let us stand up and pray to God. Our Father, which art in heaven, behold what manner of love thou hast bestowed upon us, that we would be called the sons of God, that we, through faith in the Lord Jesus, would be sons and daughters of the living God. What grace and mercy. We praise thee for that report of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank thee that it has come to us, even in our day and in this place. Thank thee for the work of thy Holy Spirit enabling the receiving of it, and ask that thou would increase faith, thou would grant assurance of thy love. We ask that thou would be working, O God, enabling by thy Spirit, showing forth thy mighty arm in the conversion of those yet in their sins, to the glory of thy name. Help us as we would come to that table of the Lord's Supper, that thou would be glorified. Glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.